Praise the Lord. Shall we read from John chapter 4, verse 20? This is the story about the Samaritan woman talking with Jesus about, you know, an issue which was controversial in that time regarding which place was supposed to be the right place of worship. Was it supposed to be in Jerusalem or this other place which the Samaritans considered was the accurate location where worship was supposed to take place? And so she tells Jesus, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now, to worship God in truth is to worship him in the revelation of who he is, and you can never do that in the absence of sincerity. Now, we need to understand the depth of or the implication of the words the Lord spoke here. We need to be aware of the fact that it is God, it is Yahweh, who had said it to the Jews, specifying which place they had to worship God. It is God who stated that Jerusalem was his chosen place, and not just anywhere in Jerusalem, but a particularly chosen place. But here the Lord Jesus says, a time is coming when the focus of worship will not be on this particular place or in this particular place in Jerusalem. And in effect, what the Lord is bringing to the attention of this woman is the fact that what we see in the old, even though Yahweh specified a particular thing, those things were really shadows pointing to the real thing that God had always desired. And here the Lord says, the hour cometh, meaning a time is coming when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, for the Father to seek it, it means it is something not commonplace. It is something which is not yet there. For the Father to seek it, it means although people are gathering in a particular place in Jerusalem, although people are offering animal sacrifices, that really is something which doesn't give full satisfaction to God. And that is the reason why he is still seeking out for that perfect thing. And you see, therein lay the weakness of the law. Under the law, God would give a command that the people needed to keep the Sabbath. And whoever did not do that, there was a penalty. Remember the man who was caught picking sticks on the Sabbath day, and he was stoned. And well, it is God who commanded that. Now, what do you think went on in the minds of the people when they saw stones landing on the head of this person, and the person is bleeding to death. Well, that aroused fear in people. And so when it was the Sabbath day, everyone knew better what to do. You were not supposed to work. It was a time to reflect on God, to get away from physical work. Now, such a harsh law, one would say, if they look at it through the lens of modern society. But you need to understand that this is a people who are being separated from a reprobate society. In that time, human beings were uncivilized, you would say that. Even religious, pagan religious systems of that day were terrible. People would sacrifice babies into the fire, believing they were worshipping their gods. When you read ancient history about Canaanite society, what you call the land of Canaan, and the type of society it was, people would sleep with animals, people would kill each other in very merciless ways. Human society was really very wicked and animalistic. But God has to begin restoration of humanity, and it has to start from somewhere. And the restoration starts with very harsh laws to recondition the mind of man. And harsh laws are given, and everyone has to follow those laws. And, well, even as bad as it was, you would have some people who would, well, worship God out of sincerity. But we need to understand that much of the population were doing certain things because it is a law. You know, and so someone will keep the Sabbath. Well, it is a law which has been given, and even when the heart was divorced away from the real purpose or intention of that, well, what appeared in the eyes of everyone is okay, today we've kept the Sabbath. That was not the perfect will of God, but it was a point in the journey towards, you know, leading his people towards something better, the perfect thing. And so God also gave them a requirement that when sin has been done, a sacrifice has to be given. And it didn't just start in the time of Moses, but we read in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. God let them see the first instance of death when God killed an animal to give them a skin for their cover. What do you think it was like for Adam and Eve to behold death for the first time? They probably may have loved this little animal. They were acquainted with it. But for the first time, they saw the hand of God slaughtering this animal, and it bled to death. That did something to their conscience. But well, with time, man continues that practice. By the time you come to the time of the law, it was instituted into law. And well, people got used to it. And if I do something wrong, I simply look around and say, oh, okay, I'll sacrifice that animal. It is the animal which will be given for sacrifice. And even among the animals, you look for the one which doesn't look very good. As long as I have met the minimum requirements, I have given a sacrifice. In the eyes of mankind, well, you did a righteous act. But now see, in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10, God is fed up with the hypocrisy of the people. In Isaiah 1 verse 10 to 11, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now, do you realize that the people God is speaking to are Israelites? And that is what everyone else saw. We are Israelites, we are the Jews. But when the prophet spoke spiritually, God did not see them as the seed of Abraham. They probably were happy and excited to say, we are the seed of Abraham. But when God looked at them, they were so dirty and filthy, not different from the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is how God addressed them. You can even see that again in Revelation chapter 11, when God raises those two prophets. God again refers to Israel. This Israel we are seeing today, he refers to it as Sodom. And that's what it is. When we stand before God, no amount of flattery or reputation by which people know us will convince God to hear us because of the general reputation we have. Before God, before the eyes of the Lord, like it is said in Revelation, the eyes of the Lord were like balls of fire. When God looks at us, he sees the X-ray of what we are inwardly. And here God, listen to what he says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. We are now on verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? God is asking the people. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread at my courts? Oh, God is asking them, who required this? Now, you see, if they could, they would answer to say, well, it is the Lord who told us to bring these sacrifices, and we are doing it in obedience to his word. But hear what the Lord says in verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Can you imagine that? You raise your hands to God and you say, Lord, I worship you. And when God looks at it, he hides his eyes away. In shame. He cannot stand to look at them because the worship, the animal sacrifices are not a true reflection of the condition of the heart. Now, you see how terrible the situation, how it had become. People would bring the sacrifices, not out of a sincere heart, but it had just become a routine. A sinner just took it up as, okay, it was some sort of insurance, sin insurance. Okay, we sin today, we'll give God the sacrifice. But you know, there's a man in the scriptures, a man who was after God's heart, David. And there is an interesting story in 2 Samuel. I need to rush up this. 2 Samuel 24, verse 21. You know, David had done a terrible sin. I think this is the time he had numbered Israel, and so he desired to give God a sacrifice. And in 2 Samuel 24, verse 21, he goes to this person he wanted to buy a sacrifice from this person. And listen, 2 Samuel 24 verse 21. And Arauna said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of the, to build an altar unto the Lord, and the plague may be stayed from the people." And Arauna said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arauna as a king give unto the king. And Arauna said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee." But now listen to what David answered. Now, let me explain. David was offered free animals to offer the sacrifice. And if it was any other person, he would have been happy to say, "Oh, you know, I was actually wondering where I'll get the money to pay for the sacrifice. And here someone has just given me something free, or let me offer it to the Lord." Any other person could have done that. But I want us to observe what David did in verse 24. "And the king said unto Arauna, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." Here is a sincere man. He says, no, I cannot just get something for free. I can't offer something to the Lord which doesn't cost me anything. And you see, saints, this is not different from your walk with the Lord and mine. Our faith and relationship to God should be that of Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God. He understood the heartbeat of God. Surely, if David had taken that free sacrifice, in the eyes of man, he would have satisfied the minimum requirements, you would say, or the requirements. And, well, he has done everything that needs to be done according to what the law says, what the letter says. But God hasn't called us to follow the letter of the law. If we are his children, our hearts are connected to his heart. We don't just look at the letter. We discern the heartbeat of God. And you see, this is very crucial in our walk with God. Do you know that there are some of us, believers, we desire to go in the rapture because we don't want to experience the great tribulation? Put another way, it's like the rapture will be our insurance against tribulation. It's like preaching to people by scaring them with hellfire, telling them, "Repent. If you don't, you go to hell, and the fires of hell will burn." And now, that kind of a gospel, if it wins someone to Christ, a person wants to accept God, or he wants to go to heaven as a form of fire insurance. And that is not really our true relationship with God. That's not the reason why we go to heaven. Do you realize that when you read 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 and Hebrews 9 verse 28, the Bible says he will appear to those who love his appearing. And that is why I always say rapture will be a love attraction. We're not going in the rapture because we're afraid of 666. If that's the reason God will take us, then hey, the apostles in the early church, they died for nothing, because those people experienced the things we are yet to see. This world is yet to see in the great tribulation. That's not the reason why we're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture because this world will be too dirty for us. It's morality. In so much that there will be such a hunger, a thirst, a passion to be one with the one we love. And the Lord's heart with our hearts will be so attracted that we'll be whisked away in that rapture event. Why? It begins right in the heart. Saints, let me not be tempted to go on. We shall move on with this thought tomorrow. The Lord bless you.